Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument, United States v. Harris. Mr. Mohammed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Amir Mohammed. I'm the attorney for the appellant in this matter, Kenneth Harris. This appeal raises one issue, and that is whether the district court erred by accepting Mr. Harris's guilty plea without a sufficient colloquy. We argue that it did. As this court is aware, a guilty plea is valid when it is made voluntarily, knowingly, and intelligently as part of a Rule 11 colloquy. At the plea hearing on October 16, 2008, before Magistrate Judge Rodovich, the Magistrate Judge engaged in a dialogue with Mr. Harris that did not satisfactorily test his understanding of the charges or their sentencing implications. At the change of plea hearing, the magistrate judge asked Mr. Harris a series of questions which essentially required one-syllable answers, such as yes, no, or yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor.
But looking at this transcript of the plea hearing that you've attached to your brief, which is the one before the magistrate judge, if you look, I thought, first of all, you were primarily stressing understanding of the sentencing consequences. And at the bottom of page 3 and the top of page 4, the magistrate judge says, if you're convicted of count 1, do you understand that you're facing a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years imprisonment and a maximum sentence of life imprisonment? He responds, yes, Your Honor. And, that's about as clear as it can get, isn't it?
Well, under ordinary circumstances, reading this plainly, I think I would agree with Your Honor. But if we look to the letter that Mr. Harris wrote to Judge Lozano, which is right behind this transcript in the appendix, Mr. Harris indicates he thought he would have faced 10 years maximum if the government's 5K motion were accepted.
Well, but that was a well after the fact letter, and he wouldn't be the first. This hearing is October 16, 2008. His letter is dated March 13, 2011. So there are credibility issues. When you say something under oath to the judge, you are expected to be telling the truth about that.
Yes, Your Honor. If we also look to page 8 of this October 16th transcript, and I think the government's brief also touched on this issue, Magistrate Judge Rodovich made reference that in some circumstances, he could get a sentence of less than 10 years. I think that's part of what triggered Mr. Harris's lack of understanding. I think the government's response brief also touched on this point on page 5 of their brief.
But he says in his letter, though, that he thinks 10 was the maximum. It just doesn't make any sense in light of this exchange. Of course, had the government asked under 5K1.1, it could have been less than 10 years, but they didn't.
Also on page 8, that's where the magistrate judge says that the government is not bound to make the 5K1.1 recommendation. And even if the government makes that recommendation, Judge Lozano is not required to accept that recommendation. So, pretty clear.
Well, you're right. It does say that in the transcript, and Mr. Harris just didn't get it. He didn't understand. He answered affirmatively. Perhaps he wanted to say something that he thought the judges wanted to hear, an affirmative response.
But you could say that in any case, right?
That argument could be made, Your Honor. That is correct. Shall I proceed?
Sure, man.
The government cites to the issue of waiver. We don't think this issue was waived. Magistrate Judge Rodovich's report from October 22, 2008 just says, I, the judge, find that the defendant understands the time he could be facing. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But that kind of vague language doesn't actually test whether or not Mr. Harris understood what was happening in front of him at the hearing. I think a better practice would be to ask a defendant to articulate, what is your understanding? Like this court alluded to in the Fry case that I cited to in my briefs, a Seventh Circuit case from the 1970s. In that case, this court had found that these yes or no back and forth discussions were not sufficient, and that is the primary case I'm relying upon here. With regard to the issue of waiver, I don't think we can say that there was waiver. I submit to my rebuttal time, but if I can continue for a moment to finish the sentence, I think you have to intend to waive something to do it. If the magistrate's report was so vague, I don't think Mr. Harris can be faulted for not objecting to it. And I'd like to reserve the 1 minute I have for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mohammed. Ms. Kirkhoff?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Emily Kirkhoff on behalf of the United States. Mr. Harris waived any objection to the magistrate judge's report and recommendation, finding that he knowingly and voluntarily and intelligently entered a plea of guilty. The magistrate judge's report and recommendation clearly stated that Mr. Harris needed to file any objections within 10 days of the report, and Mr. Harris failed to do so. The 11th Circuit has addressed waiver in the context of a plea of guilty, and they have found that waiver does apply because not objecting to the report is an affirmative action that relinquishes a known right. However,
not objecting to the report, I mean, everything's an affirmative action then, right? When you don't do something, it's affirmative, and when you do something, it's affirmative?
The 11th Circuit relied on the fact that the defendant had noticed that he needed to object, yet did not, and they took that as evidence that he made an affirmative choice not to.
I mean, you could say that. This is, I think, all part of the rules. Rule 12 is similar, where the rules were written at a time when the terms waiver and forfeiture were not being used with quite the precision that the Supreme Court has given them now. Because certainly in most areas, simply failing to do something is considered now to be a forfeiture as opposed to a waiver. Now, if the lawyer stands up and says, everything looks fine to me, Your Honor, of course that's a waiver. But
certainly. And that the distinction between waiver and forfeiture has obviously become a much more litigated issue. However, if this court decides not to address the waiver issue, they can affirm under the plain error standard that applies here because Mr. Harris did not move to withdraw his guilty plea before the district court. As the court has already noted on page 3 and 4 of the transcript, Magistrate Judge Radovich clearly advised Mr. Harris that there was a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence in his case, and he indicated that he understood. Additionally, on page 7 of the transcript, when they are discussing the sentencing guidelines and the government's agreement in the plea agreement to recommend at the minimum end of the guidelines, Magistrate Judge Radovich explains to Mr. Harris that if the guideline range is less than 10 years, the sentence will still be 10 years based on that mandatory minimum, and Mr. Harris again indicates that he understands that proposition. And then finally, on page 8 of the transcript, as this court has noted, there was discussion with regards to the 5K1.1 motion, and Judge Radovich clearly stated that the government could move for a sentence of less than 10 years, but it did not have to do so, and Judge Lozano was not required to agree with that recommendation. Given all of these discussions of the 10-year mandatory minimum, Mr. Harris was clearly advised of that and thus entered a knowing and voluntary plea.
Now, as I recall, Mr. Harris doesn't say anything much, and I mean, his letter kind of goes on, but he doesn't offer much of a reason why he didn't understand any of this, did he?
No, he doesn't. He just states that he was under the understanding that he was facing a maximum of 10 years, and then any 5K motion would move down from there.
But he doesn't say, I was sick, or I'm mentally impaired. He doesn't actually offer any reason.
No, he does not. And that brings up the point that there is a presumption that any statements made under oath, such as the statements that he made during the plea, change of plea hearing, are presumptively true. And he has not presented anything to rebut that presumption. Additionally, the court could find that there is no, that any error here was not plain. This court has held that plain error does not exist when there is the defendant learned of the information through another source. And here, paragraph 7B of the plea agreement clearly states that Mr. Harris is subject to a 10-year mandatory minimum. There was discussion, obviously, at the change of plea hearing, as well as at the sentencing hearing. And during this time, Mr. Harris did not raise any objection or indicate that he did not understand that this 10-year mandatory minimum applied. If there are no further questions, the government would respectfully request that this court affirm Mr. Harris's conviction and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kirkhoff. Mr. Mohabit.
Thank you. I think this is the kind of fact pattern that this court was afraid would come up 30 or 40 years ago when it ruled in Frye. Had there been a more detailed colloquy that engaged Mr. Harris to test his knowledge, we wouldn't be here today arguing this point. I think when Your Honor just referenced whether or not Mr. Harris was ill or impaired, to try to help the court walk in his shoes, this is somebody who was approximately 50 years old. He's used drugs for a very significant portion of his life by his own admission. During that time, he has also abused drugs. If you look at the letter he wrote to Judge Lozano, it's clear that he has a very, in my opinion, weak command of English grammar. I'm not saying this to insult the man. I'm just trying to say to help the court walk in his shoes. So you put all this together, and I think we start to understand why he may not have understood what he was getting himself into when he signed the various documents and went to the various hearings. Any other questions?
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Mahavan. You were appointed, were you not? We thank you for your efforts on behalf of the court.
Thank you.
We thank Ms.